Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Here at Your Enneagram Coach, we use the Enneagram from a biblical perspective so that we can accelerate personal growth and transformation, so that you can break free from self-condemnation, shame, and fear, so that you can experience what you already have in Christ, which is forgiveness, unconditional love, and freedom.
That's Beth McCord, Your Enneagram Coach. She's talking about a figure, literally a drawing, a figure, a circle with 9 intersections on it, and it is claimed that this is of ancient origin, that ancient Christians used it, and that Christians today can use it as well, even though it has kind of checkered past in between, or so they say, for self-improvement, and they say, to discover who you already are in Christ. Now, that's pretty loaded language. What does it really mean, and is the Enneagram a theologically neutral self-help, self-improvement, self-actualization tool? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, April the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the Enneagram. Don Vino, co-author of the new book, Richard Rohr and the Enneagram Secret. A little bit later, it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We'll discuss some bad Easter sermons. He's host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We got 4 soundbites to play for you this week. One from Pastor Paul McCain on the danger of theological innovation. Another from Dr. David Menton on the name Neanderthal. Pastor Will Whedon has soundbite number 3 with patience during the pandemic. And Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, the proper place of works in assurance. You can vote when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, via Twitter at issuesetc, or send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us to talk about Enneagrams and their history, Don Vino, president of Midwest Christian Outreach based in Chicago, co-author of the new book, Richard Rohr and the Enneagram Secret. Don, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
The Los Angeles Times recently wrote about the popularity of Enneagrams with millennials. How do you explain that?
Well, I explain it in a couple of ways. One is they have very good PR coming out of the 3 primary publishers to promote this. It's a very big seller, which would attract the interest of the LA Times. And it is meeting a sort of a, let's call it a felt need. There's this idea that I need to have a better understanding of why I do particular things. And since so many are not really teaching scripture in a sound way, let's say basic doctrine, people are kind of bereft of any idea of why do I act the way I do. And this offers a sort of a magic diagram, if you will, of if you are this kind of a person, then you do things for this reason. The problem is that isn't what the Enneagram is. It is never what it was. And so they're being deceived as a result of that.
What is an Enneagram?
Well, when you look at it initially, it's a symbol. It is a circle with a triangle in it and a sort of an unusual hexagram. There's 9 points that intersect with the circle. That's really what it is. It started out originally in around 1916 or so. It was developed by a Russian mystic by the name of George Gurdjieff. There was nothing about personality ascribed to it. It simply was a symbol that he had developed that he believed explained everything about the cosmos. And so it was sort of an occultic thing that he had developed. He also wanted to develop some dance movements around it. There's about 15 of them or so, and they have still today have dance troops going around doing these. And his belief was you couldn't understand the Enneagram without the dance movements that kind of went together. So that's where it developed. It should be noted that many have come to believe that it's very ancient, that it could go back to Babylon, for example. Maybe Sufis used it, and so there's a whole mythical history that has been proposed surrounding the Enneagram that somehow has been developed today to say this is how we know that God has used it. The problem is twofold. One, it isn't a personality profile. Even the current authors that write about the Enneagram state that. For example, in an interview with Jonathan Merritt, Christopher Huertz, one of the primary authors, says, type isn't a type of person, but it's a path to God. So in their view, the Enneagram isn't telling you a personality type as though I figure out if I do these 12 things, I'm a number 9. What it's telling you is it's a path to get you to God. That's a very important element in this whole discussion. Regarding the idea that there's evidence for it, another author, Ian Cron, in his book, The Road Back to You, he says this about the origins. If its sketchy origins weren't enough to spook the mules, there is no scientific evidence that proves the Enneagram is a reliable measurement of personality. Who cares that millions of people thought it was accurate? Grizzly Man thought he could make friends with bears, and we know how that turned out. So he's equating, and he's an author, he's promoting this stuff, and he's saying we have no evidence that it's scientifically accurate. We have no evidence that it's a personality profile, and in fact, it's not a personality profile. So the Enneagram is, by all accounts, a deceptive way to lead you someplace other than to Scripture.
With that said, Don, why has this tool become so popular even among Christians?
Have you ever heard of the good old boy circuit? Let me start with a question. The good old boy circuit works like this. If you, as a pastor, have a friend who is a pastor that you trust, who recommends something that he is using that would benefit you, you think, because you trust him, you're going to tend to be more receptive to using it, maybe even without investigating it. That is how this has become popular. It was brought into the church roughly around 2016. It was introduced through three publishers that publish within the evangelical community. It is assumed that they do theological vetting of their books. I would suggest they do not. Therefore, because they said you can trust our productions, you can trust our writers, they are theologically accurate, and this will help you find your true self. Now, that has a particular definition, by the way. And so it started skyrocketing their books. Just one of them, The Sacred Enneagram, by November of last year, has sold 100,000 copies. This is huge business. So it became popular because pastors became persuaded that it would benefit their churches and help them to grow. What it does is it turns you into yourself, not toward God.
So give us the real history of the Enneagram.
Okay. The real history starts with George Gurdjieff. The pretend history, by the way, we'll get to in a minute, but it started with George Gurdjieff and his followers. One of his followers then wrote a book called The Fourth Way, adding some information to it, but basically he was also involved in the occult. So it comes from occultists initially. In around 1954, another individual grabbed a hold of it and added some elements to it to try to tie it to the planets, sort of an astrology, if you will. That never really caught on. In the 1960s, Claudio Naranjo from Chile had grabbed a hold of it, and he started kind of playing with it, tinkering with it a little bit. He is a New Ager. He started something called Arica. It was a school, an occult school in Chile. And he started adding some elements to it that his followers claimed he had gotten from two supernatural beings, one named Metatron and one named the Green Ketub. So you have some kind of interaction then with supernatural beings communicating information that he added into the mix. One of his disciples Oscar Naranjo then took and added the personality types to it. Now, he got it from automatic writing. So follow the trail. So far, we have a diagram developed by a Russian mystic, picked up by a New Age who gets information from supernatural beings, hands it off to his disciple who gets additional information through automatic writing. Is there anything in here that sounds Christian to anybody that has any biblical understanding? It doesn't seem to me it does. It's all very New Age. From there, it moves along to a place called Asalen, which was very popular in the 1960s. They were experimenting with drug cultures and trying to tap into the cosmos through getting high. And there it is passed on to a Roman Catholic by the name of Bob Oakes, who then teaches it to some other Roman Catholic newly minted priests. One of them is a young man named Richard Rohr. Richard Rohr really fell in love with this, and he started developing it and teaching about it and building theology into it. He then passed it on to his disciples as time went on. So Richard Rohr got a hold of it and began adding a couple of things to it theologically, and that is this. He is what is called a panentheist. What that means is he believes that, in his belief, God called the universe into existence, which we would agree with, but that was the incarnation of Christ at that time. So the universe is Christ. Now, in panentheism, you have the creation, which God indwells, and you have God. So the creation is growing and expanding, and God also grows and expands and learns things along the way. So you have a really different view of God in panentheism. And then he has something called perennialism, which is the idea that all religions have the truth about God at their core level. So both of those are built into the Enneagram. What does that mean to us? Well, here's what it means. That Jesus also became the Christ, and we can too. We, in fact, are the Christ because we are part of the cosmos. The problem, in his view, is we have lost track of that. And we have erected what he calls a false self. So when you're learning the Enneagram, they talk a lot about the true self and the false self. The true self is who you really are, which is an unsullied, unsinful part of the Christ, which is the creation. The false self is this idea that you are a sinner in need of salvation. No, you are not a sinner in need of salvation. You have always been with Christ according to the Enneagram teaching. Again, is there anything Christian in this?
Don Vino is our guest. We're talking about Enneagrams when we come back. How is the Enneagram used to discover the true self? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Cantorum of St. Peter's in the Loop with the Easter hymn Christ the Lord is Risen Today. It's playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Listen to sacred music for the Easter season anytime, anywhere at LutheranPublicRadio.org and on the LPR mobile app, Lutheran Public Radio. We're talking about the Enneagram. Don Vino is our guest. So, Don, how is the Enneagram used to supposedly discover the true self?
Well, the Enneagram is used, number one, you kind of figure out what number you might likely be, and it works kind of like astrology because it's general enough that you could fit really any number. And once you discover the number, then that is the path that you need to take to follow that path to get back to your original true self and realize that you have been deceived all of your life, that you really are not a sinner, that you really are with Christ already. So the goal is to get you to this idea that you don't need salvation. You are already with God.
Is that explicitly taught by
Yes.
those who use the Enneagram in business and education and other things?
I don't know that it's explicitly taught. It is part of the overall idea of the Enneagram because everything has definitions, as you know. So if we use a term, then we need to know what that term means. Now, that it is taught is not the same thing as those who are being taught it have listened or understand. We can use terminology and often do use terminology that we have a definition for that we haven't really ask where it came from. Or we can embrace concepts and give it definitions that it doesn't carry by itself. And that is a lot of what's happening in the Enneagram. You have, I think, good-minded people who are being deceived because they're not asking the proper questions.
Who is Beth McCord and how big is she in the Enneagram circuit?
Beth McCord. Beth McCord is kind of a new arrival in stardom of the Enneagram. She and her husband have a company called Your Enneagram Coach, and she's also talked about in that Times article you alluded to. They are claiming that they are teaching a Christianized, biblicized version of the Enneagram. And, of course, they have to claim that because they know that it's from occultic roots. She's become very popular, just put out a 9-volume set with Thomas Nelson Publishers and is on kind of the marriage seminar circuit teaching the Enneagram concept. So she's very, very popular in Enneagram circles currently. Now, we have to ask a question, though. Her claim is that she has redeemed the Enneagram into Christianity. But then we have to ask some questions. Can you redeem something that God has already forbidden expressly? This comes from occultic sources. This comes from occultic mysticism. How can you redeem something that is, by its very nature, occultic and New Age? I don't really understand that. And I spoke with someone about this last week. They said, well, God can redeem anything. Is that true? The answer is no. God cannot redeem anything. He redeems many things, obviously. But can God, and I pose this question, can God redeem prostitution, for example? And the response back was, he can redeem the prostitute. I said, but that's a different question. You said he can redeem anything. Can he redeem prostitution? I mean, do we start using prostitution for evangelism, for example? Can we reclaim that for Christianity? The answer is no. There are some things that are forbidden by Scripture, which we must avoid, and this is one of them. We don't substitute a pursuit of ourselves in replacement of pursuing God. We are supposed to be pursuing God. That is our task. We learn about ourselves from Scripture, not from some occult source.
So what other kind of claims are made in connection with the Enneagram? There's a claim that it's connected to Homer's classic work, The Odyssey. How does that claim go?
Well, they claim that from the work of Homer's classic, of course, The Odyssey, and that it is in there because it had 9 stops along the way in the classic. The problem is it doesn't. It has at least 13 stops in it. So that doesn't really work. So you have someone stretching the truth to try to make it sound as though it's in there, but it's not.
There's also a claim that it goes back to the Desert Fathers of the early Christian centuries. What's that claim?
Yeah. Well, the idea is that the Desert Fathers were drawing and using the Enneagram in various ways for spiritual development. Again, you have 2 problems. One is the 2 that they name, Evagrius is one of them. There's just no evidence, none, that they have done that. The second thing is they draw that from certain statements where they had discussions about if numbers had a shape, what shape would that be? Now, that is very different than saying they were drawing Enneagrams and using them for spiritual development. Oftentimes, we might get into theological questions. You and I might even do that to say, well, how does God do X? What does that look like? And we can't really answer some things because we just don't know. He doesn't tell us. The same thing is going on here. They were in a philosophical question about what shape would numbers be. And so in the book, for example, we created an imaginary figure that might be something like they would have drawn if they had drawn shapes, but they didn't. Now, one did draw a number of different kinds of shapes, graphs and that sort of thing, none of which were the Enneagram.
So how do Christians usually put the Enneagram to work? How is it introduced to Christians and Christian congregations, and what's the purpose or the alleged purpose of using it?
Well, the alleged purpose is that you'll have a better understanding of yourself. And so it's coming, unfortunately, from pastors many times who haven't gone through Enneagram training themselves along with their staff. This usually happens in larger churches. And then from that, they take it back to the congregation, and we'll do a 9-week series teaching each of the points of the Enneagram so that you can supposedly have a better understanding of yourself. The problem is it doesn't give you a better understanding of yourself any more than teaching astrology. Why don't we just take astrology and start teaching that as here's a Christianized version of astrology? Or numerology. Well, obviously, because everyone knows those are occult. This is the same way. This is occult. Why would we use an occult tool to find out about myself?
What kind of pushback have you gotten from Christians who have been drawn into the use of the Enneagram when you point out its true origins and the teachings behind it?
Well, the first line of defense usually is, it helped me. So it's a pragmatic pushback. Pragmatism doesn't take you anywhere. There are a lot of things that might help you, that might seem to benefit you, but are nonetheless wrong and potentially evil. Someone may commit adultery and they can say, it helps me. But that doesn't mean we should advocate adultery. If something is from the occult, and this clearly is, then should it be brought into the church? Now, they have to grapple with that. Some have said they didn't realize it, and as they start looking through the information, they go, you know, this really is a bad thing, and I need to get away from it. Others, of course, want to hold on to it because they're now invested, and that's a hard place to be. Once you're invested in something, to admit that you have been deceived is a very difficult process.
We're talking about Enneagrams. Don Vino is our guest, co-author of the new book, Richard Rohr and the Enneagram Secret. We'll talk about Marcia Montenegro, a former astrologist, and her perspective on the Enneagram next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll wrap up Hebrews with the Shepherd of the Sheep. And begin Romans, the obedience of faith, mutual faith strengthened, not ashamed of the gospel, and the revelation of wrath. Join me Pastor Will Whedon for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Your church Easter egg hunt has been cancelled, but that doesn't mean there aren't wonderful treasures to be discovered at Ad Crucem. Celebrate your child's confirmation with Lutheran certificates, necklaces, and memory boxes, and wish all your loved ones a joyous, if socially distanced, Eastertide with our Christ-focused greeting cards. Put what you believe, teach, and confess on display with our Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, and Athanasian Creed. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
The world around us raises all sorts of reasons why Christ could not have risen from the dead. The April issue of the Lutheran Witness discusses how we can, in fact, know that Christ rose from the dead. Adam Francisco answers resurrection objections. Kirk Clayton explains how the Bible proves Christ's resurrection, and there's so much more. Here, Lutherans have an opportunity. For a world focused on fear of death and COVID-19, we can point them to the resurrected Christ. To learn more about this, visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Theologians are not theoretical physicists. We're not looking for new ways of understanding what God has revealed. We know what He has revealed.
Isn't it ironic? Today we have some human being that's supposedly supposed to show that we're primitive and ape men, named after a man who apparently understood the creative.
With that kind of an attitude, I think we get at the biblical notion of what patience is mostly all about.
If I'm a classic evangelical, the only place I have to look for assurance is the fruit of my faith and my growth of good works. That's the only place I have. I don't have anything else. I can't look to God's Word. I can't look to the sacraments. Those are not sure for me.
An hour from now, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites played for you in their entirety. Then your votes will decide which will be Soundbite of the Week. You vote when we play, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC. Don Vino of Midwest Christian Outreach is our guest. Our topic, the Enneagram. Don, you worked with Marcia Montenegro. She's a guest on this program and a former astrologist. What were her insights when she started looking at the Enneagram?
She has been kind of leading the pack over the last couple of years on this, because number one, she points out it has no more validity than astrology, and in fact, in her view, less validity than astrology. There are far more people use astrology than the Enneagram, but she would say the Enneagram has zero credibility. Now, this is a person who not only taught astrology, but she... In Atlanta, Georgia, you have to take a test to be a licensed astrologer. She's the one who wrote the test. I mean, she knows astrology. And she said it has no credibility, just like astrology has no credibility. That's number one. Number two, there has only been one test that we can find anywhere from what's called a psychometric tool to test it to see if it is at all accurate from a psychological standpoint. Just one. And the conclusion was that it is so iffy that it is actually dangerous to use the Enneagram from a psychological standpoint. So her points are, one, it has no credibility from a standpoint as compared with astrology. Two, it has no psychometric backing to benefit it. It is just a way to bring people into occult ideas.
Talk about the spiritual dangers that attend with the use of the Enneagram.
Well, the spiritual dangers are, you could almost go back to the Garden of Eden as we address that kind of a question. The spiritual dangers are that it causes you to start having a dependence on your own self, to that you become the measure of what is true versus what is not true. In fact, we have a section, we talk about an individual who had grown up in a, you know, Baptist background, Baptist church, went to a Baptist seminary, and she was always bothered that she didn't believe she had any personal self-worth, and that caused her to leave the faith. She denied the faith completely. But then she came to the Enneagram, and it awarded her a personal feeling of self-worth. Here's the danger. We have value because God ascribes us value. We have no worth inherently on our own, biblically. We are sinners, lost and undone without God. And unless we admit that, we will remain sinners, lost and undone from God. The Enneagram gives you promises of being able to perfect yourselves to bring it to the place of realization that you are already with God. That's just not true. It's false. That's a huge spiritual danger. To me, frankly, this is more dangerous than the COVID-19 viruses because it has long-lasting eternal spiritual implications.
Do either the originators or the modifiers or those who've attempted to, quote-unquote, baptize the Enneagram, do they have anything to say about the Enneagram and Jesus Christ?
I don't know that I can answer that question. They talk about Jesus from time to time, but the primary emphasis and focus of all Enneagram teaching is on you and how you can get back to your true self. So the two concepts that are essential to the Enneagram is true self, false self. Everything else falls under those two headings. And so you're trying to find out which path gets you back to your true self. Your true self is the one that never sinned. That's where you're trying to get back to.
So that pretty much eliminates the need for Jesus Christ altogether.
It absolutely does. In fact, the chief theologian, Richard Rohr, he basically says that. And so what you discover is the incarnation was important. Jesus became the Christ at the resurrection, and we too can follow suit in the same way. Why? Because ultimately we are already with the Christ because we are part of the cosmos, the Christ. So everything ultimately is the Christ. In fact, that's what his book, The Universal Christ, Richard Rohr, that's what that is all about, is we are all already the Christ.
More generally, Don, what do you make of this tendency of Christians to kind of grasp about for things like the Enneagram that quite clearly have suspicious origins and quite obviously have suspicious teachings and try to incorporate them into the life of a Christian, try to Christianize them?
I think just as humans, I think we're in a pursuit of meaning. And if we don't come to a recognition of who God really is in our lives in the universe, we have to find substitutes to get us there. And this is not a new problem, by the way, as you know. We find this all through Scripture. It isn't that people deny God overtly. The nation of Israel never denied God overtly. They simply incorporated other religious practices and other belief systems into and alongside their view of God. Christians who are pursuing the Enneagram or anything else like that are not trying to replace God. They're trying to add stuff around it that gives them more ability to improve themselves, improve their lives, have a better understanding. Again, I suggest that it goes back to, is the church in general properly discipling people and teaching them? Because as you come to start understanding who you are and who God is and how he interacts with your life, it can become genuinely exciting and answers a lot of questions. But if you're not getting that, if doctrine just becomes something dry, if your church is teaching doctrine, then that's going to be a problem. They're going to start looking for something else.
Someone says to you, the Enneagram is, look, it's just a theologically neutral, personal self-help tool. How would you respond to that, Don?
I would respond by saying, number one, how would you know that unless you looked at the background of it? because the background of it is not theologically neutral. It has a theology built into it, and here's what the theology is. Now, you may not like the theology, and that's fine, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have a theology, so it is not theologically neutral. There are a few things that are theologically neutral.
Finally, what advice would you give to a layperson whose pastor has announced that he's been to a conference and he's been introduced to this tool called the Enneagram, and he'd like to begin with his church a series on it?
I would suggest a few things, and one of it is, will sound self-serving, but it's the only way I can really accomplish this, is to get a copy of the book and ask the pastor, would he, because you respect your pastor, would he please review this book before implementing it, and if there are problems with the book, to let them know, because they don't want to be deceived by reading the book. Now, what that does is it takes the pressure off of the pastor and puts the pressure on our work at dealing with what the Enneagram actually is and where it comes from. And it takes some of the friction out of the question itself. Because what you don't want to do is to go to your pastor and say, I think you've been deceived, whether that's true or not. Instead, make it my problem. Don't make it your problem. So we've done that in other venues where a pastor or a church leader had gone down a bad road. And by asking them to read the book, to digest the information, and if it has been misrepresented somewhere or it is theologically wrong, to let them know, because they don't want to be deceived either. I think that's important. No one wants to be deceived.
Don Vino is president of Midwest Christian Outreach, based in Chicago, and co-author of the new book, Richard Rohr and the Enneagram Secret. You can purchase this book on the Talk On Demand Archives page at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Richard Rohr and the Enneagram Secret. Don, thanks.
Okay.
When we come back, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll be hearing some examples of bad Easter sermons with Pastor Chris Roseboro of Fighting for the Faith.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Prayers for anxiety, assurance, forgiveness, plagues, sickness. The Issues, Etc. book of the month for April contains more than 500 prayers that cover almost any situation. It's titled Lutheran Prayer Companion. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or find out more and purchase Lutheran Prayer Companion by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion.